Thank you, Brother Tommy. We appreciate that. If y'all open your Bibles to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. The title of the message, which we're kind of familiar with these terms now, is Fake News or the Truth? When I grew up, it was always, is it a lie or is it the truth? Now we hear fake news or the truth. And we do, you know, technology has had a glorious impact on our world, both good and bad. You know, the big thing when I was growing up was, it live or is that Memorex? Today you have to determine, is that video real or is it AI? So, you know, we constantly have a change that's going on. The bottom line is, it's still the same. We're trying to determine whether or not it's something that is fake, something that has been, produced, or is it real truth? And we understand that our Lord gives us truth, and we will look at that this morning. We also understand that the opposite of that is Satan, who our Lord said was the father of all lies. And it is, you know, generally you figure at some point people quit, they find the truth and they quit believing the lie. The problem is the same lies that were told many years ago still prevail in our world today. The worst thing is we as human beings still believe the lie. It's that simple. Otherwise, we wouldn't have evil in the world like we do. So in John chapter 14, invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. As our Lord is the one who is speaking here in the first verse. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, then you also," I get off track there. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, be there also. When I go, you know, where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus replied to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You may be seated. So in this passage of Scripture, a couple of things I want to really look at in depth. In the very first verse, Jesus says, "Let your hearts not be troubled." And then he goes through about heaven itself. And if you believe in God, believe also in Him. And then in verse 6, He makes a proclamation. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, this truth, whether you and I realize it or not, we spend our lives searching for truth in one thing or another. Or as a whole, we look for the truth. You and I who are believers believe what Jesus said here, that, and we don't know exactly what that term is of mansions in heaven, but what it denotes here as we have an understanding, and the language was same in the day of Jesus' time, we understand a barn, we understand a shed, we understand a house, and how each one of those stack up, but it has been for all of time, the word mansion means that it is a spectacular dwelling, a big house, if you will. And we know through the other things that we read in Revelation, if pavement is gold and gates are made of big, beautiful stones, a mansion must be awesome, right? Just by the sheer inference of that. And Jesus says here, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. And the reason we generally are troubled because we're trying to discern truth. The devil has a way, obviously, we have seen that all the way back into the book of Genesis, a way of being able to deceive you and I. The Christian who hears, who listens for the Holy Spirit, the devil attacks through that in that he says very similar things to God's Word. He knows God's Word backwards and forwards. Don't believe he doesn't. He was in heaven. He heard those words spoke. And yet, just as we find in Genesis, he'll take God's Word and put a little bit of twist that makes it totally different than what God said. To Eve, he said, surely you won't die. That's not what God meant. And no, physically it wasn't. But spiritually it was. Which led to a ramification of why our body still is corruptible because it no longer is perfected. So he's constantly, so the Christian looks oftentimes as people ask, is how do you know when it's the Holy Spirit speaking versus devil imitating? The AI of Satan, right? He makes it fake, but it's close enough. And we've talked about that before, how important it is for you and I to spend time in God's Word to know really what it says. Or when we have one of these decisions we're making and we're getting these mixed signals, to be able to go to God's Word. He never changes. It's always consistent. And match it against the Word of the Lord. Is it in fact truth? One of the sad side effects, if you will, kind of putting it in those terms, of the fall in the garden is that you and I allow ourselves, because of that side effect of sin called pride, which is the big deal that the devil, why he, his own pride is what got him kicked out of heaven, trying to challenge God. Well, that part of sin enters each one of us. And you go, preacher, I'm kind of lost. Bear with me just a second here. When we come, like that little one over there, you and I were all that age one time. Okay? Some of you may be old enough, Vic, not to remember that, but you were that way. Okay? You weren't hatched. Neither was Mater, although he was born in the wrong place in New Jersey, but that's okay. You know, he found God's country sooner or later. We better go back to preaching before that erupts. But when we were that young man's age, and you watch in this room, if you watch him, he depends on mom and dad. All of us did. We trusted mama and daddy in their wisdom. We trusted what they told us. Jesus, in fact, says that you and I have to come as a child before our Lord. And oftentimes that's misunderstood. We can't go retrograde into childhood, although some of us still never have grown up. I understand that. But we can't go backwards, but it's the fact of a child trust. I want you to think a minute what we read here for a second. Start tying this together. The very first thing Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. That little man over there, he ain't got a worry in the world as long as he can keep mom and daddy in sight. Now, he might run off from them, but there's not a kid one, including that big one that growed up there, running through the store, and suddenly he don't see mom and daddy, and you hear this, "Mama!" The cry goes out, right? Because we're looking back for what we know we can trust. His heart's not troubled. I bet he doesn't have any problem going to sleep, right? Finally, when the switch goes out, you know, kids are that way. Switch on, they're wide open. When the switch goes off, they're done. Okay? They don't lie awake worrying about he doesn't worry about finances. He doesn't worry about where's the kind of education he's going to get. He is not worried about it. He's not even worried about what's for breakfast. Mama's going to feed him. Now, mama and daddy might worry about how he's going to get an education and all of those things. But he has no doubt. He knows when he's in a bind, he goes to mama, goes to daddy. So did we. Now, somewhere in that transformation, as we grow up, we become teenagers. And that kind of really begins the point that we begin to develop in our own, and we realize that, well, yeah, mom and daddy knew good before, but now I'm grown up, I know best for me. It's called pride. Jesus said you have to come as children to Him and the Father. It's because we grow up and we get influenced by the world that suddenly we think we know a better way. And so what really is truth? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Turn over here to chapter 18 in John for a moment. And it is a universal question throughout all the ages. In John chapter 18, Jesus has been brought at this point before Pilate. He has been arrested, and he is there, and Pilate is hearing and asking questions. And in verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you the king then?" And Jesus said, "You say rightly that I am a king." Notice he didn't say the king. He said, "I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate's response to him in verse 38 is, "What is truth?" That's a universal question through all of the ages that every single one of us ask at some point. What is truth? We question that of any authority or anyone that we care about. We go, what is the truth? It's why, and it begins to trouble us to know, which way is it really? Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. I am the way, the truth, and the life." So this notion of truth in the world today, we have a way because of our pride. We define that truth in the parameters that fits me and you. Kind of fast forward through a couple of thousand years to today. When you watch the news, if you watch it on one channel that leans one direction politically, you hear what takes place. I've literally done this. And you turn over to another channel that leans the opposite way and you hear the same story, and it's totally different than what you just heard. Which raises the question, well, which one's telling me the truth? And you see what both of them, if you were to ask them, they both go, "Well, I reported the truth." Pilate's question, "Well, what is truth?" determine it for me. Truth is one that no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what we have heard, that truth is consistent. It doesn't change. It is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Basic truths through all of our humanity has never changed. There's two things that are consistent. God, Satan, good, evil. Paul wrote of the Holy Spirit that says we are at war, not a physical war, but of powers and principalities of good and evil. They have been all through creation from the fall that took place in heaven. Even the sun and the moon, as we read in Scripture, will come a time that it no longer is required. It won't exist forever. Our world constantly changes. In your lifetime, think for a moment, how much has changed? Heck, you probably experienced change this past week. Change is constantly happening in our lives. Okay? Some of you at one time had hair. Things have changed. Some of you had beautiful colored hair. Now you color your hair out of a bottle. Some of you say, I don't care. I like it white. Our body's constantly changing. Some of us got a little heavier than we used to be. A matter of fact, as you grow older, some of you will shrink. Young ones will grow. We live a life of change. When you came to know Jesus Christ, your life should have totally changed. For the Christian in the daily walk, be the first one to admit, my life daily changes because of Him. That growth is there. I read and understand His Word new and different. That's why it's a living Word. We've talked about that before. You can read the same verse 1,500 times, and that 1,501, suddenly somebody's added new text to your Bible. Same Bible you've had for years. You gained an understanding. Jesus says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. In John chapter 1 through 3, it is denoted that there, from the very beginning, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made, and in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. That's truth. Truth is that consistency. That's why Scripture records, our God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. When you think about what the Scripture, what we read in here, and you begin to look at the world itself, a lie of the devil says, that's the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament, or that is old stories. It's no longer applicable. Here in a couple of weeks, we are going to celebrate 250 years of our nation, the United States of America, our independence, our Constitution. We're going to celebrate that fact. There are those in our world today that says the Constitution is outdated. That's an opinion. Others will say, and our forefathers knew enough to say, if it needs to be changed, there's a process of that. But what we do know by history is no nation, except this one, has existed for that amount of time period. to date. God says he has existed by him saying his name is I Am. I was, I will be, always the I Am. That is truth. That is a basis. The biggest thing we see with our young folks today is they're searching for truth. They've lost the foundation. Our family structures have changed. It was a rarity to have a single family without a single family parent without a death. Today, that is the common adventure. Go into these schools, ask some of these kids, have them tell how many of your parents have been or been divorced and remarried. Hands go up everywhere. Most of us about my age or older or even a little younger, that was a rarity. The change has come. Why? Again, what is that truth except that we put our own implications on what truth really is? Turn, if you will, a few chapters over into John chapter 18 for a moment. I want you to look at something here, and it goes back to what we first read. He said, do not let your hearts be troubled, for he is the truth. In John chapter 18, what is taking place in this particular, in Matthew 18. Sorry, wrong book. The truth is, I make mistakes, as my secretary will remind me. Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, we read here that Jesus, this is where he, to bring to you, it's not me saying, but it's him saying. He says in verse 1, at the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him, and he set him before him in the midst. And he said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you by no means can enter the kingdom of heaven. That little boy back there, there's not the pride. He hasn't learned that yet. That's what you and I have to give and go away with, is that whoever receives a little one, he says, and like in my name, receives me. You and I have to do that with fully trusting. Now turn to Mark, the book of Mark in chapter 9. I'm going to go back and pick that scripture up for you. In chapter 9 of Mark, a daddy has brought his boy to be healed to Jesus. He has been possessed with a demon-like spirit that causes him to convulse and be thrown upon the ground and go into these convulsions. That's the story of where we're going to drop into. Look at here in verses 21. So he asked his father, Jesus is asking, and he says, How long has this been happening to him? And he said to Jesus, from childhood. And often he throws thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him, speaking about the demonic spirit in him. But if you can do anything, have compassion upon us and help us. His plea to Jesus. Jesus answers in this respect in 23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's where doubt comes from. We begin to doubt the truth. That should be one that you and I highlight or star in our Bible, is that if one believes, all things are possible. No matter what situation we find ourselves in or the circumstances we find ourselves in, if we put our faith, our truth, our basis of our belief system in Jesus Christ, in the Father Himself, and listen to the Holy Spirit, you and I will not have that doubt. That takes a large amount of faith, an exercised faith. But you see, when you and I come to Jesus Christ, we ask Him to come and be our Lord and Savior, we're believing. Just as He says here, you must believe. We believe it's possible. The naysayers will come and ask you and I, well, have you seen Christ? Have you really talked to Him? Do you know He exists? Have you reached out and touched Him? That's not faith. Faith is that I believe for what I cannot see, but I know in my spirit and my heart. The funny thing is, science will always try to dispel God's Word, the Scriptures. Yet science does exactly the opposite because science is there to find the truth. Eventually, they prove the Bible. It has happened over and over and over. Some folks I've had the privilege of knowing will be the ones to tell you very, very quickly. They were an atheist and they intended, because of their scientific work, to prove that God did not exist. They now are a Christian because God proved to them He does exist. There are things that the world and doctors and scientists cannot explain to us. The oncologist that Royce sees, she is of a different faith. And, you know, she said, "You're just awesome." And the response given was, "For God." My response, he makes us wonderfully. That's what takes place in prayer to Him. And you could see the expression on her face where she really began to go, and begin to think about it. You see, you and I touch people every day. If we give Him the glory or by faith, it makes them start to think. Somebody made you and I think about what is truth. We search for it from the time we're born until we die. Even at death, we're seeking that truth that we have placed our faith in, that we go immediately into the presence of Jesus Christ. The proof is there. Our faith, when we exercise it, is because we believe the Word of the Scriptures. Those of you who have been with folks who are there at their last breath and all, and you see, as I've said many times in doing funerals, the question does not have to be, did they know the Lord or not? I can tell you by the atmosphere of those who knew them immediately at the funeral. For you see, both are sad of the loss. But yet, those who knew the Lord, their sadness is also with joy because they know where that person sits. He's already there in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's belief. For those who did not display that, there is wailing and crying and carrying on of an emotional strain. And some of you have been in those type of funerals as well, because they have no hope. They do not have an understanding of the truth. If we know the truth, you and I both know, if we know the truth in those decisions, then we know what decision to make. Now I'm going to come back to our opening scripture. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth." I am the way. We believe the truth. He becomes the way. And through Him, He gives us life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. All of those get drawn together in that statement. He tells Pilate in the scripture we read there, he says, "It is as you say, you have rightly spoken." And yet Pilate comes back and says, "What is truth?" For you and I, knowing the voice, as Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice and they follow." When you and I know His voice, that truth is not hard to find. It's only our doubt that inhibits it. Is it fake or is it truth? The Holy Spirit will direct and guide each and every one of us only to the truth, which matches God's Word from the beginning of time forevermore. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that is what truth, the real truth is. It can only come from Him. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, it would be our prayer and our desire, and most of all, our Lord's desire, for you to come to know Jesus Christ, for you to know the truth. The truth is, if you don't know Him personally, you're bound for hell. Some people have said that's harsh. No, it is the truth. It's not what I say. It's what God has said. You and I, because of sin, are separated from a loving Father who desires that no one should go to hell. He built that for Satan and his demons that followed. Not for you and I. His desire for His creation is to come, for He has built those mansions for you and I. We're going to offer an invitation, and I hope if you're here and don't know Him personally, you'll accept Him today. I invite you to bow your head, close your eyes.